Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. All this week, we've been thinking about poetry as part of Vermont Reads, the Vermont Humanities Council's statewide reading program. This year's book asks us to turn back to poetry. It's Poetry 180, a collection selected by Billy Collins. In our hyper-connected world, some may find that it's increasingly difficult to slow down long enough to read and truly enjoy a poem. VPR's Kirk Carapeza introduces us to a professor at the University of Vermont who is encouraging his students to appreciate the sound and feel of poems.
Major Jackson says at an early age, he fell in love with condensed language as a reader of poetry. His working-class African-American grandparents kept books filled with poems in their northern Philadelphia home. From time to time, Jackson would come across a poem that resonated with him sonically.
That never left me. I mean, I'm 44 years old, and I still take pleasure in words.
It was the 1980s, the golden age of hip-hop. Time, Jackson says, when it wasn't difficult to go from Robert Frost to bands like the Treacherous Three.
Feel the heartbeat with the Treacherous Threes, we got a new heartbeat.
A time when reading and writing poetry among black people, Jackson admits, was widely seen as acting white. But
not in my household. If anything, literacy was a means of keeping your eyes on the prize. It was very simply realizing that what connected American culture, whether it was a poem in a book or a rap in the street, was language.
Jackson recalls sitting in his grandparents' library, reading a Robert Frost poem called Nothing Gold Can Stay.
Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Listen how bouncy that poem is. And maybe even quite intentionally he chose that particular rhythm to talk about the beginning of a life to the end of a life.
Jackson's life has taken him from Philadelphia, where he studied business, to Burlington, where today he teaches poetry at UVM.
Ladies, gentlemen, what's the score? Who's winning?
Us.
I don't believe you.
A former accountant, he's also the poetry editor of the Harvard Review. This spring, he won a Guggenheim Fellowship for his work. He fits a certain academic typecast with thick-framed glasses, coffee-stained jeans, and a corduroy jacket. But it's clear the stuffy stereotypes end there as he sits on the corner of a desk and commands his class.
What are the pleasures, some of the pleasures you find in Eliza's poems?
There's so many. I think
in these workshops, Jackson tries to help students lose their inhibition. And in this age of digital solitude, he wants them to appreciate the sound of words.
For future, read torture. For gift, read thrift.
Jackson and his students practice out loud and with a certain level of trust.
Drunk Mao! You said that's going to YouTube? Please don't do that.
And Jackson wants students to overcome their anxiety about reading their poems to their peers.
I think that our generation takes poetry for granted.
That's Mari Stokes, a junior from Manhattan. She says she enjoys writing poems, but she arrived in this class uptight about sharing them.
I read my poems to my mom and my best friend before I, like, submit them, and I'm, like, cool, but then I come in here and I'm like, oh, words. So we're working on it. I'm naturally really shy, and I'm kind of scared of putting myself out there in the fear that someone might not necessarily like it like I do, I guess.
Major Jackson says Stokes and other students have come a long way since the beginning of the semester. His style is conversational, calling his students friends and telling them that from day one, they already had his admiration because he says it takes a lot of courage to be expressive in today's society.
We are not encouraged to be thoughtful with language and to think about the implications and effects of the language that we use. And I can't think of any group in our society that needs that more than the young people today.
Jackson says a poem isn't a billboard for some sort of emotion or hallmark. So when students are caught up in the vortex of campus life, he says the opportunity to write a poem is an invitation to slow down. He says there's not much else in their day-to-day routines that welcomes that kind of deep reflection. For Vermont Reads, I'm Kirk Carapeza.
And I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Included in Poetry 180 is a piece by Galway Cannell. He's won both a National Book Award and a Pulitzer Prize for his work. Now he spends much of his time in the front room of a quintessential red Vermont farmhouse, where he lives with his family. We asked what poetry brings to him.
If it's a poem I love, it gives me great happiness. Poetry has a strange timbre that prose doesn't have. In prose, we tell what happens. In poetry, another voice takes over, strange to us, perhaps, where our tenderest, truest words are spoken. Apart from my loved ones, poetry has been the most important thing in my life.
Galway Canal reads St. Francis and the Sow.
This is St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing, though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch. It is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, blessings of earth on the sow. And the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the sheer blue milken dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of sow.
Galway Canal reading St. Francis and the Sow. For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertlieb.
Vermont Reads Poetry 180 was produced by Betty Smith and Melody Baudette, edited by Ross Sneed. Our technical director is Chris Albertine, and website production by Tim Johnson. Our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. The music for this series is used with permission from the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. You can find the entire series and share your thoughts at vpr.net.